Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're back. One more segment here on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. Subscribe if you haven't already. Wherever you get podcasts, leave a rating, leave a review. I'm Jeff Nowak. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak alongside Steve Geller at Steve Geller WWL. You can follow the latest Saints coverage at WWL.com and on WWL AM 870 FM 105.3 and on the always free Odyssey app. Steve, what are your thoughts about the now number one Alante Taylor?
Definitely love the swag, confidence, whatever you want to call it, he always brings. That was even from last year's rookie minicamp. I was like, man, who is this dude? And he just sounds like already that he considered himself a starter in that caliber. And now he showed it last year and did pretty well his rookie season. Now interested to see, obviously, what year two has in store for the second round pick. And I thought there were some comments that he made that were kind of interesting because we saw him in the, you know, playing the slot, the nickel role. And he's all right with it, but he definitely didn't sound like he was 100% on board with the move, but understands getting, obviously, I guess you would say, cross-trained in all these different areas to be that versatile guy. But definitely excited about what to see. What's number one now got to do his second season in the league? But there's plenty of competition in that secondary group. Paulson Adebo, Bradley Roby, and Marshawn Lattimore, along with Alante. Those are four really solid corners, I think, going into this year. We talked about that last year, too.
At the end of the day, I'm still a corner. I don't feel like I've shown that I can't play the position. But I don't think the coaches feel that way either. I feel like they're just trying to introduce me to something new and just kind of see what I can do with it. Just because, you know, game plan-wise, I may end up having to travel a guy who's a slot receiver one day. So Coach Woods is big on, you know, his corners, knowing how to play the slot, but also playing the outside. So I'm open to it, like I said, but I feel like I'm still competing for the outside corner job. And that's still my number one priority.
Yeah, and so as you mentioned, he's wearing number one now, and it's taken me a couple times because I see 27, and I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. That's Isaac Yiadom now. Alante's in number one because Marquez Callaway is now with Denver, and he was wearing number one last year. He changed his number. He said it was like a tribute to his grandmother. What he was talking about is the slot there. And yeah, I agree. It's kind of sounds like, you know, he's willing to play the slot, right? But that's not where he wants to be. He wants to be outside, and he's going to fight for that job. And so the question becomes, and we had this question in the mailbag section of the last podcast, is, okay, well, whoever wins that job between Paulson Adebo and Alante Taylor, are they going to move inside to the slot? And I think the answer is no. I think that this team, as Alante said there, wants everyone to be able to play in the slot, to have the ability to go play in the slot. But I think personally, whoever wins that job is going to start at the outside, and whoever loses that job between Alante Taylor and Paulson Adebo is going to back up on the outside and play in other roles around, maybe be a gunner, maybe be more involved on special teams. And you're going to have Bradley Roby be the starting slot corner. Maybe a Jordan Howden, someone stands out in camp and you're like, wow. But I don't think that you're going to have someone battle on the outside all offseason and then be like, no, you're not going to start. Go do something you haven't really done all offseason. Go start at a position that you haven't been focusing on. And you can tell when you talk to Alante that he's focusing on the outside right now. He's battling for that spot. So that's kind of where I land on it. But I do think that he is very impressive. And Bobby Hebert would agree with that take to an What I would say is a pretty extreme level.
Very bold statement, yes.
Yeah, here's what he had to say on Sports Talk this week.
Marshawn Lattimore was not in attendance today, neither Bradley Roby or Paulson Adebo. But Alante Taylor goes to show, man, you talk about you looking at a big-time player here. He played outside. He played in the slot. Wherever they want him to play, Alante Taylor can play. And he's a guy that I think is something
without
special.
Without a doubt.
He's something special.
I think Alante Taylor is right there with Marshawn Lattimore. Marshawn Lattimore has more experience, but Alante Taylor, I think he's surpassed, even with all their NFL experience, Paulson Adebo and Bradley Roby. And I think we need all of them. We need all of them to compete at a high level. But I'm looking at where Alante Taylor is, Mike. And listen, I've always talked good about Paulson Adebo. I think even addition when we got Bradley Roby. When I look at Alante Taylor, Mike, that might end up being a steal. What we got? No, he was, what was he, second round?
He was a second round.
Yeah. So
that, but you know, a lot of people like
he's second round, but he plays like a first round corner.
There you go. Bobby thinks that Alante Taylor is on par with Marshawn Lattimore, which is a bold take considering he might not even start.
And I mean, I brought this up to him yesterday, kind of thing, in jest, and I was like, you know, Alante still does. He still hasn't gotten his first interception in the NFL even yet. There were some penalties in that scenario last year. There were some drops though too. But I'm like, come on, the guy hasn't even got an interception yet.
He should have had two.
I can't have him on par with Marshawn.
He had one that was overturned on a very soft Chris Harris penalty, and one that was overturned on a very poor interpretation of what a catch is. So, I mean, like in that sense, I'm not going to hold that against him. He should have had multiple interceptions. He also had one bounce off his hands. At another point, he should have had three. Anyway, I think Alante Taylor is great. I think he's going to be spectacular. I don't think he's there yet. I think where he could actually be better than Marshawn is as a tackler. I think as an open field tackler, he is excellent. Marshawn's not bad, but it's not the strength of his game. Whereas I think that Alante can be a much better run support player. Whereas you're going to, like, one of the difficulties in locking up man-to-man on the outside is you're running with your back to the quarterback. You're playing the receiver. They can just run a draw behind you, and you are going to have no way to really identify what's happening. Screen games are tough. And so that's why you rely on your linebackers. But you can, in theory, with a guy like Alante, play zone on one side, man on the other side, and have him come up and make a tackle. I think he can do that very well and in ways that I don't know if Marshawn can. Marshawn, as a cover corner, is as good as it gets. If you're saying Alante is as good as Marshawn as a cover corner right now, it's because Marshawn's not there because you're not seeing him because he is that good as a cover corner. Either way, you know, we talked about Paulson Adebo a lot last offseason, and I think we probably overhyped him a little bit. And that's just part of the offseason, overhyping guys. I think Alante Taylor has the potential to be as good as Marshawn Lattimore. He's not there right now.
To me, obviously, right now, Lattimore is at least a top 10 corner in the NFL. And you can't put Taylor there.
I think he's a top two corner in the NFL.
You have him as what?
I think he's a top two corner in the NFL.
Wow. Okay. So there you go.
He would tell you he's top two, but he's not two.
I would agree with that for sure. But to me, I will say there's that possibility. You know, we look at Alante down the line. He might be a little more dedicated to the craft or to working out or to, you know what I mean? Like Marshawn, he tends to sometimes have a little bit of lax to that attitude. And even some of the matchups we've seen some lesser wide receivers take advantage of him because he might not be quote unquote trying as hard. And I don't know. We'll see if Alante has more of that constant dog in him, but there's definitely no slight I'm trying to put against Marshawn. But the only thing to me is, there seems to be sometimes where he needs a little bit of a wake up call. Like, all right, you're not playing Mike Evans this game, but you got to get up and cover XYZ, whoever it happens to be.
Yeah, I do worry about him in matchups where there's no, like, and I've said this, like when they played the Giants and I was like, who is Marshawn going to shadow? Because they don't have anyone to really focus on. And I think that those are the matchups that he has a harder time with because he likes to just lock in on one guy and take him away. And in certain matchups, that is massively important. In others, it's not. Whereas, like, when you can take Mike Evans out of that Bucs offense, then it becomes a lot easier to stop them, right? when you can take A.J. Brown out of that Eagles offense, it becomes a lot easier to stop them. And it, to be fair, like that's what you need to win in the playoffs. In a random regular season game where you just need to kind of play good defense, it can work against you, I think. But I do think it also goes back to what we were talking about with Mike Thomas, is he does a lot of things incredibly well. I don't think that being a vocal leader in the locker room is necessarily one of them. And Marshawn, I feel like it's another guy who's kind of a talks with his play type guy. Alvin's the same way. Like occasionally we'll hear about Alvin standing up in the locker room and making an impassioned speech and whatever. In most cases, he's a speak with your play type guy. I think Alante has the potential to be a team leader in a way that you have to be vocal and you have to put up and talk big game at the same time. Like he could be a team captain down the road. Right.
Right. Almost in the mold, I would say, of like that kind of Malcolm Jenkins, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's a good example. You know, and I don't know if they've had that at the cornerback position, right? Like I'm trying to think of another cornerback that you could say was like a team leader, potential team captain. And I don't know if I can't think of any. So, yeah, but I mean, they have a really good track record of second round picks. Michael Thomas was a second round pick, right? You look at him as another one of those really good second round picks. Eric McCoy is another example of a second round pick.
Why were they drafting that special teams guy in the second round?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll consider that one of my victories is like being like, you guys are dumb on day one and being like, oh, special teamer. Like, okay, relax.
Way to waste a draft pick.
Anyway, Alante's asked about, you know, what he wants his legacy to be with the Saints, and here's what he had to say.
I feel like I'm still working on that. You know, I just want everybody to know that, you know, I can be the next Marshawn, if not the better Marshawn. But like I said, my own legacy, my own way, just the way I play the game. You know, I'm trying to get more involved into the community. I feel like, you know, New Orleans has a lot to offer that I haven't got to see yet. So working on just kind of getting into the community just so people can know me outside of, you know, the helmet and just the hard-hitting corner.
I was hoping you were going to get to this because he mentions it, obviously, but he says, I can be. Not that I've arrived yet, though, either. Right.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, and you want guys to feel like that. You want guys to feel like they're always pushing for something. And I feel like DeMario Davis is a good example of that, right? Like, DeMario, the first few years of his career, you know, he wasn't, you know, we talked about the last few years, like, how has he never made a Pro Bowl? Well, part of that's because the first few years of his career, he was middling, right? He played with the Jets. He was with the Browns. He was solid, but he wasn't the guy we know. He wasn't the DeMario Davis that's been a team leader on the Saints for so long. And I think that, you know, I don't know if Lonte needs to go somewhere else to be that guy, but I do see a lot of the same qualities in just in terms of the work ethic, in terms of how he composes himself, how he speaks to people, how he leads that group. And you can kind of profile him as a team leader the same way DeMario, when he goes up there and talks, you're like, okay, this is a guy that you can see. It's like you put him in the pregame huddle and he's going to fire people up. And I think you can kind of see the same type of qualities in Alante as DeMario.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, you mentioned that with DeMario Davis, and to me, it definitely blows my mind with the fact that the Jets and Browns had a guy like that in the locker room, and it's like, was he not as vocal then? I don't know, but because I can't imagine you letting that voice leave, kind of thing, because I just see him as obviously one, so important on the field, but two, just a big motivator and team guy that unites guys in the locker room. And it just, the Jets let him go twice, for crying out loud. Or was it the Browns?
The Jets and the Browns. Yeah. I think he went back to the Jets. I don't remember. Either way, the Saints signed him, and I don't think they've regretted it. You know, definitely one thing not. That happened this week, and we can kind of close on this, is, you know, DeMario Davis talked and he had a lot of interesting things to say. I talk about how maybe Alante Taylor can be a team leader down the road if you would lose a voice like DeMario Davis at some point. He is eventually going to retire. I don't know when that is. And funnily enough, I don't think DeMario knows when that is, because he was asked about it multiple times this week. And this is what he had to say.
That is a tremendous question. I do think about it all the time, but where I'm learning to live in my individual life, I'm not there yet, is try not to process life from my head so much. and try to let what's happening inside of my heart kind of speak to me. You know, I profess my faith in God, but it's a lot easier for me to try to figure out what he wants from me instead of me just waiting till he shows me what's next. And so all I know is he's showing me right now that this season is coming up and I need to be ready for it. And so that's where I'm trying to be, is present and be right there. And then he'll show me what's next. And if I can be patient and wait on that, it'll be a lot better than me trying to figure it out myself. Because once I get up here, it's going bad.
Knowing that the level that you have played the game at, would you ever play if you could not play at a certain level?
That's another great question. And you on fire today, my man. I love it. I love it. It's challenging questions. I've always said if I wasn't playing at the level that I would want to be playing at the highest, then I would, you know, be ready to walk away from the game. But when you're not on your own time and you're on God's time, he may have me here for different reasons, such as relationships and mentoring other guys in the locker room. Or using the platform to have impact on the field. And so that's why I have to try to stop trying to figure it out on my time, because it's not just about me. It's about what he knows in his providential way of bringing it all together. And so, you know, if I was on my own time, yeah, I would say that. But I'm not on my own time. I'm on his time. And so I want to be in his game as long as he has me here, happily doing exactly what he wants me to do, whether that's going out and being a star on the field, or that's being a background guy helping guys in the locker room. I'm cool with it. Or hope that my heart becomes cool with being cool with it.
Hopes that his heart becomes cool with being cool with it. You know, we've talked about this, and one thing that is a pet peeve of mine is when you ask someone a serious question and then they're just like, oh, God will tell me. And that's basically what...
Right, what, the old Jameis God's plan kind of thing.
Yeah, like when Jameis came off the field after just heaving it up to Marquez Callaway and like, it was God's plan, coach. Like, but that, I think what Sean said was like, this other guys have a God too. But, you know, in this case, I actually don't have an issue with it, because I, like, genuinely... I don't think DeMario Davis knows. Like Cam Jordan, for example, when you ask him when he's planning on retiring, he said that year 10, the plan was always to check in with his body and to kind of think about it and figure out what the next, if he's going to keep going. It worked out. Next benchmark year 13, that was this year, decided to keep going. Next benchmark is year 15. He's going to keep going until then, and then he's going to think about it again and make that decision. Malcolm Jenkins told us that after year 10, every offseason, he was like, okay, is this the year? And he decided not to, and then I think he got to year 12. I can't remember. Either way, like that, then he eventually said, you know what? It's time. Drew Brees said every offseason, basically since 2017, he had to make that decision every offseason. I asked DeMario Davis 2 years ago if at year 10 he was going to be like, okay, I'll start thinking about it. And his reaction was like, how dare you ask me that question? But he did answer it. But I think like the way he kind of responded to that is like, he's not thinking about it. It's like, when it's time, it's time. And I think that's his way of saying that. And he's obviously a very devout religious guy, so he's going to couch it in his faith and all that. I think that's what he's saying, is like, he's not setting any benchmarks for, okay, I have to make a decision by this year. This is when I'm going to start really considering it. He's going to let his play on the field kind of, and his ability to do all the work, make that determination for him. And I think that's fair, you know? And I think when he's not able to play at the level, he's going to be honest with himself that he's not able to play at the level that's good enough to be a starting NFL linebacker. That's when he'll make that decision.
Yeah. A career high in sacks last year. He ain't going nowhere yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think his game has changed a little bit. Definitely. And he kind of gave a little ribbing to the media, who's been like saying he's too old because he hears that stuff. He does pay attention. And I think that he is a different player right now than he was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. I don't think he's a volume tackler anymore. I think that's why Pete Werner being in that role is helpful, because he's going to be a guy who can fly around the field and make those tackles. He needs to be a cover linebacker and be able to do that and also get upfield and affect the quarterback. And so I think that's kind of where his game has adjusted this last couple seasons. I don't think that 8 sack or whatever season was a mirage. I think that's going to be what you see from him a little bit more as he progresses later into his career. But I don't think he's lost a step in the sense that he can't chase guys down to the edge of the field. He just needs to rely on his brain a little bit more than he might have in years past, where he needs to make sure he's not taking false steps rather than being able to recover from false steps in real time, if that makes sense.
Like you said, there's no drop off in what we've seen from production and DeMario on the field. And honestly, you look at this Saints linebacking group, there better not be, because it's not a very deep position with experience, I'll say, at least, obviously. There's a lot of unproven talent that we need to see more of come through there. But, I mean, yeah, DeMario and Cam are your two main guys on this team. And, you know, you've mentioned it, and it's no secret. Obviously, no one can beat Father Time. Eventually, they are going to take a downswing in production, and I just don't see it. It hasn't been a huge drop-off for either one right now.
No, and I mean, it kind of just comes full circle. When that time does come, you need guys to step up and be team leaders, and a guy like Alante Taylor makes a lot of sense in that kind of vein. But that's all I had. Do you have anything else you want to hit on before we get out of here?
No, one more week of the voluntary workouts before we get into mandatory time. And yeah, that's when things get really interesting, obviously, just because it's like, well, there's no excuse for not being around then.
Yeah, I am interested to see. So week one, you had Tyron show up, who probably didn't have to, and he was kind of doing that job of being the mentor, the veteran mentor. Cam's always there. This Mario, I expect we won't see DeMario again, but I bet there's going to be somebody. I bet it's like a Taysom Hill, or like I bet you get one. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they organized it this way, is they kind of figure it out. Like maybe Marshawn shows up and you just kind of get that one week where he can kind of talk to the younger kids and kind of lead them through drills and stuff. I think that's probably what we're going to see.
I'm interested too, just because of the fact too, obviously we came back Tuesday, Memorial Day weekend. Maybe some of the guys that were present decided to take an extra long weekend and didn't show up for Tuesday's section. But we don't know what happened on Wednesday and Thursday at practice in the second week of OTAs, obviously, because we weren't there.
Maybe it's possible. Yeah. And
I do think that's a little bit of the tough part of obviously just getting to see one session each week.
Yeah. And I think that's also too, like, don't overreact to the attendance.
Yes, exactly.
You're only doing it because there's nothing else to talk about. That's the only reason it's happening. Which, like, you got to talk about something and be, it's like the only thing of note, rather than, hey, Derek Carr completed 4 of 6 passes in the drills we kind of halfway watched.
Obviously, if Derek Carr wasn't there, that'd be news.
Yeah, if Derek Carr doesn't show up, then yeah, we can talk about that. I think he will. But
Saying even for the voluntary stuff, it's like you need your new quarterback there. Obviously, it's even though it's not mandatory, it kind of is mandatory for Carr.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, let's wrap this up. I know I did promise we'd talk about Rashid Shaheed. We ran out of time, but we will have an episode early next week. So I figure we can get into that and kind of talk about, you know, one more week of Rashid Shaheed and preview what we're looking at. He's been very good, and we have some clips from him. He's bulked up a little bit to 185. So I think we mentioned that earlier. So I think we should at least mention what we were referencing. He's bulked up a bit. And I, you know, because I had talked about that, like he's wearing 22 now. He looks a little bigger. Maybe it's a mirage, but he has actually gained some weight, picked up some bulk, and he's still fast.
Still so, getting used to that number there too.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that on Monday when we kind of preview the next set of OTAs and then obviously the final OTAs. And then we'll get into mini camp and then we'll have a month off. Yay. But all right. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks everyone. As always, if you haven't subscribed yet, do that wherever you get your podcast. Leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe on YouTube at WWL Sports. Check us out, the latest Saints coverage at WWL.com. You can follow Steve at Steve Geller WWL. And every night on Sports Talk, 5:30 to 8 p.m. on WWL AM 870 FM 105.3 and the always free Odyssey app. I'm getting better at saying that real fast. I'm Jeff Nowak at Jeff_Nowak. Any parting thoughts, Steve?
Check us out Friday after the LSU game. We'll be coming on to do a wrap, and I'm sure we'll, you know, wrap on the game, obviously, and I'm sure we'll mix in some Saint stuff.
Yeah, I'll have some stuff to complain about for sure. All right, y'all. Be easy.
Later, peace. Everyone.